Good morning, 7:30, August, it's still September 6th, 7:29, September 6th. Let's not get ahead of myself here today. I am ridiculously excited about today. Today I get to go work with high school kids and talk about writing, talk about doing the novel thing. And I'm just... I was up early thinking about it, working on it, going through my notes from the workshop so that I've got the things that I want to talk about in hand. I've been thinking about it ever since I started. I didn't turn on anything to listen to this morning. I just started thinking about what are some of the ideas, some of the things that I want to accomplish today in an hour and a half. And the first thing is to kind of lay out an outline, kind of lay out a sort of a timetable, a schedule. And talk to them about what they think is reasonable. Now, the advantage of working with these people is that YA tends to be a little bit shorter. So 60,000 words is a good length YA novel and formats quite nicely into the 8x5.5 or whatever that size is for a trade paperback. And still gives a nice book feel. So yeah, so we're gonna go through the process probably. I also want to talk to him about some of the things that I learned in the workshop. And I went back and looked it up. Accent is where you're from, attitude is what you wear. What you say, the content of what you say has a way of expressing opinion and tells a lot about the character. Action is what you do. The content of speech and opinion are not necessarily the same. Content of speech is a way of defining a character in ways that helps identify a character clearly. So, for example, in the Robert B. Parker, Jesse Stone novels, Jesse Stone almost never uses a complete sentence. He's always got a laconic delivery. He's always leaving off things like personal pronouns. So instead of saying something like, "What do you think about that?" he'll say, "And you think?" So it's an interesting mechanism for identifying a character, for giving them depth. So anyway, I'm really excited. Yesterday was a moderately successful day. I did a very cool workshop last night with the Writers Roundtable folks, Brian Humphrey, Dave Robeson, and Michael Blundenau. I kept saying it wrong, so I have it incorrect in my mind, and so that's unfortunate. It was an interesting story. It was a very interesting story that we workshopped the heck out of. And I hope by the time the episode drops in about 6 weeks that he'll have it pretty much done. Because it's a very cool idea. I really liked it a great deal. So, yeah. See how that works out. So yeah, I'm trying to get back so that I can get a shower, get on some clean clothes before I go sit down with a bunch of high school kids. Make a good impression, I hope. Might try to talk to the class as a whole. Good morning. and talk to them about creative writing, about the craft. Let's see how that works out. Accent is which is where you're from. Attitude is what you wear. Opinion is what you think. Action is what you do. And the content of what you say provides insight into the setting. Ooh. I'm walking and not talking. I'm thinking about Deborah Geary. And one of the characteristics that one of the people that I know characterized her writing as, how does she do this? I read 50 pages of Cookies and Ice Cream and on page 51 I cry. How? How is that even possible? Why did I read those first 50 pages? And how did she make me cry? Yeah, we did the ePublish Unum thing the other night, Deborah and I. It's the first time I've been in the same space where I could actually see her and hear her. I've heard her voice before. She did an audio interview with a book club that had adopted her book. So the ePublish Unum thing was interesting because it was the rules for writers and when you should break them. It's an interesting question. Was, are there rules? What are the rules? Are there rules for all writers, or are there only rules for you? That was one of the questions that got raised. Is, would I break any of my rules? And I think the reality is that the rules that I follow are rules that I don't need to. I don't feel the need to break. It's sort of like living in a liberal enough society that I don't need to apologize for whatever happens to pop up. The fact that I could write stories as different as the Hidalgo and the one you haven't seen yet, the romance, and the Ishmael Wong stories that have such a shift from the beginning to the end. And yet, to me, they're all largely consistent. I didn't break any rules. I set out to write a story, and I'm pretty happy with the story that I wrote. Even the pulpy piece that I did for Half Blaster Will Travel, for Galileo Games, that was very much a story that I I might have read in the 50s. It was very much a throwback and homage. The Astonishing Amulet of Amenartas is an homage to H. Rider Haggard, as well as an entry into the steampunk world and aesthetic. The White Star Zeppelin line, for example, and the Amulet of Amenartas. Amenartas is a name from H. Rider Haggard. So yeah. Rules I would not break. I'm probably not going to start telling stories of sweeping galactic conflict. Although I might tell the story of the original Lois McKendrick and how she worked to gain rights for the dependents in corporate-owned, leased planets. I use that term corporate-owned when in fact the reality is they're corporate-leased, they're leased for 100 years. Which was a number that I just picked out of my air. And there were some interesting conversations last night about where I might go next, what I might do next. Ishmael has been living in the surface layer, the privileged layer of society, in terms of living with a woman with advanced degree, working in an environment, at least to begin with, that was one of support and privilege. It would have been a very different story if he'd gotten on board the Tinker the first time out. And you could have. It was luck of the draw, which I think is an aspect of the universe that I really rely greatly on, because I see it in the everyday. I see the luck of the draw. I see the near miss of the auto wreck. The auto wreck that does not miss, which changes lives. And the fact that you did have a near collision, shouldn't be a near miss, it should be a near collision, means that your life did not get derailed at that point, which gives you an opportunity to have it derailed some other way. But I think for a lot of us, and I include me in this because that's really my experience, is that I've been extraordinarily lucky. And I think most people are extraordinarily lucky in terms of how they survive. I think it's also true that a huge number of people are extraordinarily unlucky, which leaves the vast number of folks kind of caught in the middle, which is an interesting kind of idea. Good morning.
Morning, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
Good, fine, thanks.
Okay. It's a woman with a push broom, and she's sweeping the leaf litter out of the gutter beside the street. And I think I know why she's doing it. She's doing it so that the leaf litter doesn't decompose into the cracks of the expansion joints, which leaves a little bit of growing medium where weeds take root. I think that's what she's doing. It's a bit more effort than I think I would put out. No. Let me be honest. It's way more effort than I would ever consider. So I already had my breakfast this morning. One of the things that I discovered yesterday was that it was like two hours after I took the picture. Thank you, John Hibden, for reminding me that I had not published. And the problem is that I set the date, I set the file name, and then I set the phone to upload to my Dropbox before I go into the house. And then I go into the house and take off my shoes and hang up my hat and hang up my coat, get my breakfast, fresh cup of coffee. By the time I make it down to my desk, I've completely forgotten that I've got a podcast to do. In the past, what I would do is come in, and I would have to plug the phone into the computer to do the upload. And so what I do is I just come in, take off my hat and coat, and go back downstairs and get that thing going, post it, and then go get my breakfast. But because I have this breakfast thing in between, I tend to forget. So by the time I get back down on my computer, there's, you know, there's email to read, there's Twitter to look at, there's Facebook, there's all kinds of stuff. So today, I had breakfast already. Had breakfast at 6, and so came out at 7. So when I go in theory, I'll be able to go in and sit down, get this uploaded, get all that taken care of, before I have to get into the shower at 8 o'clock. So we'll see. We'll see how that works out. I really do need to get it done before I have to leave. I have to leave around 8:40. So that gives me about an hour. To get stuff taken care of here before I have to leave to go to school. Then I won't be able to do anything until I get back around 11. 9:06 to 10:43. So it's a good hour. Hour and a quarter, hour and three quarters, almost 2 hours. Pleasant morning. It's gorgeous here this morning. I'm almost at the end of the walk, going past the big cottonwood tree on the corner. It's a gorgeous day. It's not too hot yet, although the sun has a little bit of heat in it when I come out of the shade. There's a coolness in the air, a cleanness in the air. I'm not quite sure. It's a green, but it's also fall. It's quite interesting. It's quite delightful. But I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. If I didn't just pull out my headphone set. Tomorrow is another day, and I will talk to you then.